Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Just seems like last year we were finishing up with the last message for Camp Meeting 2009. As Pastor Eastman came to me just before Camp Meeting a few months ago and asked me to speak, there's a lot of things that go through your mind, but you've got to settle down and just say, Lord, what is it that you want? And I feel that this is a message not only for camp meeting, but for us to take home to our churches. And not only to our churches, but to get this down into our lives and make sure that it's settled there and we keep it afresh. Amen. I pastored in Titusville for 22 years. And in that area, there's a lot of Amish. Now, for those of you that don't know the Amish too well, we say they live a little backward. I just think that their life is uncluttered a lot of times with a lot of things. But one thing that I'm thinking of particular, and some of you may remember doing it, but I don't remember. We had electricity. But the lanterns that the Amish have in their homes to lighten their homes, they don't use electric. They use Coleman lanterns, propane lanterns or whatever, gas lanterns. And the thing of it is those lanterns have to be cleaned every day. And usually the youngest child in the family, that was their job, about 5 years old. That was their job. They had to go through and clean all the chimneys on those lights, and then they had to turn around and make sure the wick was trimmed and so that it wouldn't get frayed and so it would give an even light and it wouldn't smoke a lot. And that was their job. And then they had to fill it up every single morning and make sure there was enough oil in that lamp. And usually, again, it was up to the younger people of the family that had to do it. And if there wasn't any children, usually the mother did it. It wasn't the most elaborate job that everybody wanted to have. But you know that in the Bible, it was a very important job. In fact, it was so important that God designated certain people to do it. And in Exodus chapter 27 and verse 20, God lays down the plan when the tabernacle was built for the lamp in the holy place to be taken care of. Exodus 27, verse 20. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil olive, beaten for light, to cause the lamp to burn always in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his son shall order it from evening till morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. And again, it's repeated in Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 7. Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation. Shall Aaron order it from the evening until the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. This pure oil olive beaten was when the olives are first taken, and when they go to get the oil out of it, they begin to beat them. And they beat the olives, and the olives are so ripe with oil that it's almost like when we were on the farm and the cows would come in for milking, and there were some cows just ready to give the milk, and when you'd wash the udders, they would just automatically the milk would start running. That's how full. And some of the olives, when they were very ripe, and this first oil that comes from the olive is the pure olive oil. And it is beaten, it is shaken, and then that oil is released from the olives, and this is what they catch. Then after it is beaten, they take it, and then they crush it and get the rest of the olive oil. But the first olive oil is exactly what God said He wanted for these lamps. And what we want to focus on tonight is the lamp. The lamp there with the seven candlesticks there. And we see that God said, build this thing, but I want you to keep it as a continual memorial before Me. We are to keep the lamps lit every evening. The priest would come in every evening just before it was getting dark, and they would begin to trim these lamps or light these lamps. And in the morning when they would come in and do the incense, they would go out to the outer court and they would get the fire, some coals and a fire off the altar that was out there, the brazen altar that was to be continually burning 24/7, 365 days out of the year. It was not to be gone out. And that's where they would get the fire and come in every single night, and they would start lighting those lamps. And then in the morning they would take and come in, and then they would snuff the lamps out. And then they would make sure they would pour more oil back into these lamps. And then they would trim the wick to make sure that it was proper and ready to be lit again. This was a very important job. Only the priest was allowed to do it. It was not be allowed by anybody else. Didn't matter if you were young and excited and said, I'd like that job. No, you had to be the priest to keep this lamp lit. And I want to minister tonight on keepers of the flame. Keepers of the flame. It was a daily task. It was something that God commanded them to do every day. They were not allowed to allow a day to go by that lamp was not trimmed and ready to be lit that night. They were to make sure that it was there and continually brought forth the light when it was needed. They couldn't sleep in about it, because the time of the morning incense to be put upon that altar of incense was the same time we read where they had to go over and take the lamps out and put them out and then replenish that oil in there. In the time, in fact, many of us maybe have Jewish friends or know a little bit of the Jewish history, and during the 400 years of silence, when the children of the, we have between the Old Testament and the New Testament, called the 400 years of silence. There's great turmoil in the land of Israel. And Judah Maccabee, one of the sons of the Maccabees there, and they rose up. There was a war, and they came into Israel, and the Romans came in. Antiochus Epiphanes, of course, and took and sacrificed the swine on the altar. But there was something else they did at that same period of time. They allowed the lamps to go out. They allowed the lamps to go out. And every time we read in the Scripture, not very many times, there was a time back in Hezekiah's day and that, but they opened up the house of the Lord again and relit the lamps. But every time that the people of God began to drift from God, you know what happened? The lamps began to go out. Every single time there was a low spot in the spiritual life of the children of Israel, there was a low spot, and they began to drift from God, the lamps went out. You say, yeah, but you read in history, and it was a dark place, and a dark place in history. I want to tell you something. The world does not designate to God when the lamps can go out. God said they were to burn continually. Judah Maccabee and his father started it, but Judah Maccabee became one of the generals of the guerrillas of the Jews that came to fight against the Roman army that was settled in the land of Israel at that time. And they rose up and they defeated the Romans. And they expired them out of the land and kicked them out of the land. And they turned around, and the first thing they did is began to light the lamps. But they found something very significant about that. There was only enough oil for one night. Only enough oil for one night. And God had specific rules how they were to get the oil and how long it was going to take them to get the oil. It was going to take them 8 days to get the oil to replenish the lamp. They lit the lamps for the first time in a long time. There was rejoicing, but there was much prayer because there was only enough oil for one night. But you know what they did? They came back the next night and they lit them again. And they burned the next night. They came back the next night and they lit them again and they burned again. They came back the next night, and the next night, and the next night. For 8 solid days, they came back and lit the lamps again. But on the 8th, the 9th day, they came and said, we've got the oil, now we can refill it. But God kept it going for 8 solid days. That's why they celebrate Hanukkah. Because why? Israel was the keeper of the flame. They knew that God said, keep this thing burning. Don't let it go out. In the days of Samuel, remember Samuel was the boy that his mother gave him to the Lord, dedicated him to God. Every year she'd come and bring him a little coat, and then bring him a little bit bigger coat, and a little bit bigger coat, and until finally, maybe she had to get a couple sheep to make him a coat. I don't know. But in 1 Samuel chapter 3, he says, and the children and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place. Notice these two verses. The wording is very different. Verse 2, it says, and he laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Notice it doesn't say that Eli laid down to go to sleep. His eyes were waxing dim. He could not see. And you know the story how he's supposed to go to his boys and straighten them out and tell them that, hey, you got to get your life straightened out. What you're doing is not right. And he didn't do it. He went and more or less slapped them on the wrist, and that was about it. Notice it says his eyes were waxing dim that he could not see. The lamp of God is something that God has placed within our lives at the day of salvation. We are to keep it burning. Let it not dim in our lives, but keep the oil flowing and keep it going in our life, that it's going to plenish every single day, that the light and the fire of God is going to burn. Let the flame ignite. But Samuel, there was something different. Yes, he laid down for a natural sleep, but what happened? The voice of God spoke to him. You know that the devil cannot dim your lamp. The devil can't put your lamp out. Look at all the things that the devil would represent in the Scripture. And everything that the Holy Ghost represents in the Scripture. A type of. Holy Ghost is a type of oil. Sounds to me like that's going to make the fire go a little bit hotter. He's represented as the wind. You know what you do when you get a little coal and a little fire going? You want to get it going more? Blow on that thing! Blow on that flame! Get it a little bit higher! But you know, and it's considered, you know, the rain. So God's not going to put out that flame. But you know, the devil is likened unto darkness. And you know that darkness cannot make a lamp go out. Darkness cannot make your flame go out. In fact, you know what the best thing that you can see in the dark is? Light. The best thing you can see in the dark is light. They tell me, I don't know, I've never lived on the desert, but they tell me in the desert that you can see a small campfire miles away. Miles away. And you know what we hear so much today? That it's getting so dark in my neighborhood. You don't know where I live. You don't know the town I live in. I'm telling you tonight that the darkness cannot put your light out. But you know what's going to happen? The darker the night, the brighter the light. We're the keepers of the flame. Back in 1986. In fact, did you know that the Statue of Liberty just celebrated its 125th anniversary? 125th, just this past May. But in 1986, they were refurbishing the Statue of Liberty. And they were, you know, collecting pennies in schools, and school kids were collecting pennies, and they were going to refurbish her. In fact, they took the lamp down, and they said, we're going to bring up the original and make it just like the original. The light had changed several times, but they were going to make it just like the original one was. And during this period of time, of course, there's a lot of hubbub and everything else. And there was a radio station in New York City that wanted to take and talk to the man that took care of the Statue of Liberty. And she interviewed this man and talked with him for a long time, you know, how high it was and how many people could get in the crown and how many people could walk in, around the top of the flame and everything else, how much she weighed, where it come from, everything about her. And at the end of that interview, she said, "What's it like being the caretaker of the Statue of Liberty?" And he said in a low voice, but in a hard one, "I'm not the caretaker." She said, "I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What did you say?" He said, "I'm not the caretaker." "Well, if you're not the caretaker, what are you?" "I'm a keeper of the flame. I'm the keeper of the flame." And brothers and sisters, too long we got the mentality that we're just janitors until Jesus comes back. I'm telling you tonight, we're the keeper of the flame. Until we change that attitude, we're not going to do anything but just twiddle our thumbs. I'm a keeper of the flame. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I'm a keeper of the flame. I'm not a janitor, Brother Coleman. I'm just out trying to maintain this thing, to tread water until Jesus comes back. If I can just get enough to keep me until the next day, if I could just get enough for this Sunday to keep me at least till Wednesday night, I might get a little boost." Most people that we've got in churches today are on a roller coaster. They start at a high and each mountain gets a little bit lower. This isn't coasting. This has got an engine in it. There's a fire in the boiler. The fire in the boiler just builds up the steam a little bit more. Stoke that thing. We're going to go for a higher one next time. Shovel that coal in there. And we're not going to quit now. But you don't see the height of that thing. There's trouble coming. Stoke the fire. I'm a keeper of the flame. Yeah, but it's going to be worse when you get home. You just lost your job. Shove some coal. It's an engine, not a coaster. And over in Matthew chapter 25, we all know it. In fact, I used it this morning. It talks about the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 5 or 10 virgins. They took their lamps. They took their lamps. Now I want to notice, you notice something. There were all 10 virgins. Now, there wasn't a harlot among them. There were all 10 virgins, and they were all waiting on the same bridegroom. They all had lamps. What makes the difference? He said 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Well, what makes the difference in why, who's wise and who's foolish? Because I come to church with a basket with me. They didn't come with a basket. They just come, whatever they're going to get, they're going to have to carry it in their hands. It said, "And when while the bridegroom tarried," do you know what he's doing right now? He's tarrying. "Said there was a cry that came, 'The bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' And they got up." They were sleeping. Jesus does not, contrary to some Pentecostal people, Jesus does not condemn sleeping at night. Says that they woke up and they trimmed their lamps. But what the problem was, brothers and sisters, we got to more than just get the wick cut. Because in the original, it says, "Our lamps are going out." There's a little bit and the flame is getting dim and it's coming down because there's no more oil in the vessel. And the wise took and they had oil not only in their lamp, but they had a vessel, a cruise next door that they could take a reserve, if you please, and take and pour it into that lamp. And as they poured it in that lamp, the foolish said, "Hey, give us some of yours." They said, "Not so," because then there wouldn't be enough for all of us. "You go and go get yours." And while the foolish headed off down to the next church, or wherever they went, they turned around, the wise went out to meet him because their lamps were burning bright. Because, you see, they were the keepers of the flame. Because how in the world was the bridegroom going to know where to come if the light wasn't on? They weren't staying at Motel 6. But you know, the old story was that it came night in America and there was cabins and people, you know, lived miles apart. They always put a candle in the window. So if you got lost somewhere out in the wilderness, you could find where somebody was living. Does your neighborhood know that there's a light in the window? Are you a keeper of the flame? Do you have that thing burning? Or is the wick getting a little bit shabby? Is the oil running a little bit low? Are you a keeper of the flame? Or are you just a block parent? You come find my house, I got a little bee in the window. Man, I want a light. Somebody chasing me in the middle of the night, I'm not going to look for a bee. I want to see a light. They were a keeper of the flame. You've got to guard that flame. I want to tell you something, those priests, it wasn't just a shabby job they had to do. They had to do it right. They had to do it proper. They knew they were a keeper of the flame. He said, you do it continually. You just don't feel like it tonight and forget about it tomorrow. You don't feel like doing it when you're well and not feel like doing it when you're sick. You don't feel like doing it when you got money in your pocket and not feel like it when you are broke. You don't feel like doing it when you've got everything and all your family's well and then not feeling it like something's not going right. We're talking about being a keeper of the flame in season, out of season, when we like it, when we don't like it. Could you imagine Aaron getting up one morning? Hey boys, I don't feel too good. We'll just skip it today. We'll just skip it today. Somebody going to take care of that thing. Somebody. Can you imagine? For all those months, and there was no flame in that candle. And the only thing that Judah Maccabee wanted to do, he says, got to get a flame going. It's like the United States military. You know the first thing they did when they got on an island in World War II? One thing they had to do? They didn't have a torch to light, but they had something called a banner. Notice the flag. All the stars and stripes that they had on that thing, they said, you find the highest hill, you put it up there, and make sure you stand it up there. There's a monument in Washington, D.C. about the flag raising on Iwo Jima. And the thing of it is, the first guys that went to put it up, they didn't get it up there. You know why? They're laying on the ground. There was a war, and I can't remember which one it was. They took, and they said, fellas, get that flag to the top of that hill so that we know that we're here now. Well, now everybody that looks around it knows that we're here. And they got there, and finally the flag was up there. The commanding officer wasn't able to get there for a whole day. The next day he got there. He said, show me the men that are raising that flag. They haven't let it down. He's expecting to find a pile of rocks there. Hold that flag up there. He got there and there was 30 bodies holding that flag up. Every one of them dead. But you know something? They were keeping the standard. They weren't going to let it fall. They were keepers of the flame, not to let it go out. We have come to a place in America that if it's convenient, we can do it. If it's convenient, we'll press in there. Man, if it's something that concerns me, I'll do it. If it concerns my family, I'll even go a little bit farther. The high priest wasn't lighting those candles just for himself. He wasn't having a birthday party. Jesus told the disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, let your light so shine before men Let your light so shine before men that they may, what? See your good works and glorify your Father. How in the world are they going to see what you're doing if your light's gone out? How are they going to find the way on the path if the light's gone out? Oh, we got a keeper of the flame. The people which sat in darkness, they saw a great light. They saw a great light. He goes on, he says, and to them which in the regions in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Regions in the shadow of death. Oh, I'll tell you what. There's a story about a church. They were getting on fire for God. They started visiting all their neighbors. Round about them, round the church house. Knocking on doors, visiting the neighbors, and inviting them out and everything else. And they got to one place and the boys were sitting there on the curb, and the pastor and the head deacon happened to be the ones to go to this house. And he said, "Hey, boys, you want to come? Why don't you come down and visit us at that church right up there? You see that cross on that steeple? Come on over and visit us someday." Said, "No, sir." "Why not?" "Because they don't want us up there." "What do you mean they don't want us up there? Want you up there?" He said, "Because we go up there and we roller skate in the parking lot. They come chasing us out there and tell us to get off that parking lot. So we come up there and walk on the sidewalk a little bit. Maybe we step on the grass, and they holler us for stepping on the grass." He said, "Well, boys, we want to tell you something. I'm the pastor up there, and I'm saying you can go up there." "No, sir, they don't want us." "What's your name, son?" He said, "My name's Cecil." He says, "Okay, Cecil." He said, "You just tell them the preacher said you could come up there and roller skate on that parking lot." "Where's your mama, Cecil?" "She right in there, preacher. She right in there, preacher." Pastor went in there, knocked on the door, says, "Ma'am?" Says, "Yes, sir." He says, I'm the pastor of that church right up there." He said, "I want you to come visit us." "No, sir, they don't want us up there. They don't want our kind up there." "No, sir, no, sir, Ray, they don't want our kind." Says, "Yes, ma'am, I'm here. I'm the preacher. And I'm telling you, I want you there Sunday morning. We have a big thing coming Sunday, and I want you to be my special guest. In fact, when you get there, you give them this card. My name's on the back. You give them this card, and I want to personally bring you into the church." So they turned around, and that Sunday, Cecil and his mom ended up coming to church that Sunday. They got a hold of the pastor, and he runs to the back. "Gracie, I'm so glad to see you, Gracie. And Cecil, I'm so glad to see you." And turned around, he led them right up and sent them right down their seat. And he says, "Now you sit right there, Gracie. Cecil, you sit right there." He preached a marvelous message. God touched Gracie's heart. She came right up to center of the platform and kneeled down there at the altar, give her heart to Jesus Christ. A few weeks passed, a few months passed. Cecil never came back. Some kids made fun of him because he didn't have the right shoes on and things like that. He never came back. Few months pass, and he gets an emergency phone call in his office. Pastor, this is Gracie calling. Something done awful happened to Cecil. Pastor, you gotta come. Turned around, and he went out, ran over there, and there found Cecil dead. He had done taking his daddy's gun and shot himself, killed himself. And as the pastor walked out of that house that day, sad and brokenhearted, two little boys sitting on the curb right where Cecil and his buddy was sitting that day, he invited them to church. You know, the sad part of the whole thing was the cross came, the shadow of the sun was setting just right, and it made that cross fall right across those fellows' laps. Struck that pastor, he says, "There's people dying right in the shadow of the cross of our church." Are we a keeper of the flame? Or has it gotten so dim that people can't see their way with our lives? We can blame the church all we want to, but you know where the church gets its light? From the people that enter its doors. From the people that exit its doors. He said, "Ye are the light. Let your light," didn't say let your church light so shine, but let your light shine. Let your light shine. Where do the neighbor kids run to when there's a problem? Where do the neighbors call if there's an issue? Who do they call in your family? We just the janitors. You know, the world thinks we're a bunch of nuts. Just, you know, they wrote that song in mockery of the church. Talking about Golden Dawn. What's that wedding garment you got on? Is today He supposed to come and take you, carry you away? It's an old song. But it's a mockery to the church, what it was. Hit number one chart far back in my childhood days. But if you began to listen to it, it's a mockery to the church that the church is walking with an old wedding garment on. It's tattered and torn, expecting someone to come and catch him away. A man that promised him that he said he's going away and come back and get him again. It was a mockery to the church. I want to tell you something. We need to keep the lamps bright. Do you believe He's coming back again? Trim the wick. Get the oil flowing again. Over in Ephesians chapter 5. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. You know what the drunk with wine is? When you get drunk, you forget a lot of things. You forget how to get home. You forget you even got a home. You get that drunk. Some people have been so addicted to alcohol, they get blackout spells. Don't even know what they've done for the past half hour or more. Be not drunk with wine in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the oil. And it's not just talking about a one-time filling. Well, I got it 50 years ago. Man, what in the world are you doing with it today? Do you got the lamp wick trimmed? Are you? It says, "Be being filled, a continual filling of the Holy Ghost." I don't want to be just a cruise, but I want it coming in one end, going out the other. In fact, it said that river, when it flows out of that temple, you know what's going to happen? It's going to heal wherever it touches. Going to heal wherever it touches. Going to hit this bank. Things are going to happen on that side. It's going to swing over and hit this bank. Things are going to happen over there. Are we just the janitors? Or are we a keeper of the flame? Do you realize the potential that we hold? Do you know what? The devil knows the potential more than the church knows the potential it's got. Anytime somebody gets a foot loose, gets a shaking a little bit, the devil gets nervous. Oh, they're going to get something. We better hold this thing down. But if the church would realize what it possessed, all hell would break loose. You know, the scripture that I think most people have backwards is the one over in Matthew. Chapter 16. You know where He says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church." And then He says a profound statement that people have lost, and they don't even realize it. I've heard preachers quote it, and then not even realize it. He does not call the church the gate. Read it. It says, "The gates of hell shall not prevail." Okay, when was the last time you saw a door walking down the road? We sing the song, "Hold the Fort, for I am coming." Gates aren't coming against the church. We're supposed to be going against the gates of hell. That's the problem. The church has been sitting down, waiting for hell to arrive. It's about time the church rise up and meet hell on its ground. The best defense is an offense. Get the lamps trimmed. Can you imagine? He said, "Gideon, get yourself 300 men. And I want you to get some lamps down there. And get some pitchers." So Gideon goes down there and he got a horn, got a lamp, got a pitcher. Get down there. And he says, "Okay. When I count it, when I break my pot and blow my horn, you break your pot and blow your horn too." So they break the pot, blow the horn, and there was no light. Nowhere's in that Bible it says, "Now Gideon, light the lamps." But Gideon was smart enough. He knew he had lamps. He needed to lit them. We're standing around with lamps that are gone out, wondering why the enemy's still in the camp. We're making a lot of noise. Making a whole lot of noise. Toot, 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 toot. We even play a little bit better too. But our lamps have gone out. And all they're saying is, the birds are singing. The birds are singing. Listen to the birds. Hey, fellas, listen to this. I never heard a nightingale play taps. Man, I never heard the nightingale play reveille. We're not playing charge, that's for sure. God didn't tell Gideon to light the lamps. He knew Gideon had enough sense in his head to light the lamps. Staying continually full. Staying continually full. Yeah, but you don't know this lamp has been in the family for so long. When was the last time you lit it? Well, I don't know. I think my granddad lit it. They had a great big... I remember telling the story about how God came down and the altars were flat out. They were slain out in the Spirit. God was healing. God was saving. I mean, God was moving like a mighty rushing wind. Oh, that was the last time it was lit. It's about time either to get rid of that one and get one that works or get that one refurbished. Get rid of that one and get a new one that works or get it refurbished. Instead of hanging on to that thing and saying, well, one of these days, God's going to send it down. He already sent it down out of heaven. It's out there on the altar. If you get back to that altar, get a hold of that thing, you'll get your wick lit. He lit it one time. He didn't say he's going to come down and light it again. When that fire fell on the day of that dedication on that altar out there, that was, he said, where you get all your fire from. Well, we got a few trying to creep in with some false fire. Nadab and Abihu just thought anything going to work. Found out anything just didn't work. They had some strange fire because they got it where it wasn't. I don't know if they used their bick or whatever they used. But it sure wasn't off that altar, and that's the only place you're going to get the good stuff. Get it off that altar that God lit a long time ago. Get back to the same altar. The same place that Grandma got it. Same place Granddad got it. Same place Azusa Street got it. Same place every revival's got it from and since and before that. Same place. And then when you come with a lamp like that, you don't have to tell everybody your lamp's lit. I come from a family of drunks. Bunch of them drunks. They don't have to tell the neighborhood that they're drunk when they come home. No siree, they don't have to tell the family they're drunk when they come home. They know it ahead of time. A friend of mine was a welder for a well drilling outfit, and a lot of times he'd have to travel several hours to get where he was going, so he'd leave at night and sleep in his truck, and then when the daytime came, he didn't have to leave early in the morning and try to drive and get there. So he'd leave the day before and sleep there in his truck, and one night somebody pulled up and had their headlights shining on his truck, and you didn't know what was coming, and the guy got out with a flashlight shining it right in his eyes. So he reached over and grabbed his 8-cell battery flashlight, shined him, it blinded the guy that had the flashlight. He said, who's got that flashlight that's so bright? He said, who's got the one that's so dim? He said, I'm a Pennsylvania state trooper. He said, oh, I'm sorry. Turn his light off. Yeah. He walked up there and he said, what are you doing here? He said, well, I'm a welder. I've got to weld on these wells tomorrow morning, so I always drive up early. Trooper looked in. He said, where'd you get that light? Honest. He said, well, I got to go get one of those. He says, man, I couldn't see anything. He had his car lights on. All right, go ahead. We need to get our light burning brighter than the world's. if we're going to get anybody to come. Amen. Well, the world don't have any light. Hate to tell you this, but a lot of people in church don't have a light either. Let's get those things trimmed. Give us oil from your lamps. No, no. You got to go back to the same place we got the oil. You got to come back to the same place that we got the oil if you want to get more oil. Amen. Before He comes. Don't wait until He comes and then go run and try to find it. Get it before He comes. And then we can sit there. Hey, the light's in the window. You can come anytime and knock on my door. Jesus, we're waiting for you. Here's the light. Where are you at tonight? Is your wick getting a little feeble, a little shabby? You need to get it trimmed? You got a little bit of oil in your lamp. You made it here tonight. But do you need a little bit in the cruise that's beside it? So when tomorrow morning comes and you are out there and something happens, you weren't expecting it, you can just take something from the reserve, pour it in there, say, thank God, I can get it refreshed, refilled. You meet somebody on the street, say, just a minute, I'm going to reach back to something I got at camp meeting. I'm going to fill this lamp up again. I want to give you enough light that we can see what God's doing and what God wants to do in your life. Worst thing I hate than having no flashlight is a flashlight that doesn't work. Oh, it's worse. You don't have a flashlight, you don't worry about it. So, oh, I'm going to have to get a flashlight. You got one that doesn't work. Oh, you'd like to wrap your hands around the kid that had it last and left it on. Yeah. Or in our case, the grandkids. You want to get a present for a child that they will love you, get them a flashlight. Honestly, get them a flashlight. Works every time. Just one or two Christmases ago, my wife said, when are we going to get the grandkids? I said, give them a flashlight. We want to get them something they'll want. I said, don't worry, you get it, you watch. Sure enough, all the lights in the house are on. Sun shining outside. They got that flashlight on. All the other gifts are up there in a pile. They forgot all of them. They got that light, and they're going to let everybody know. Shine that light, because there's something about light that attracts people. There's something about light that lets you know there's life going on. Something about the light that's just different than when there's darkness. How come nobody's afraid of the night, of the light, but everybody's afraid of the dark? A lot of people don't like light because it reveals things. Woo. Man, I felt that one come back. Yeah. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Not everybody's going to like your light because it brings conviction. But let it shine. Preacher one time was working on the church. Had his old t-shirt on, old jeans and sneakers, holy sneakers on. I don't mean holy because they're on holy feet, but they were just plain old, had holes in them. Paint all over everything. He heads down, and a couple lived right down the street from the church, and he thought he needed to get some turpentine or something from them, and he said, oh, they'll have it. He goes walking in their room, in the living room. Eight people standing around the place in formal tuxedos. And of course, the parishioner of the church says, oh, this is our pastor. That pastor said, hey, I didn't want them to make me feel bad, so I just started going around, hello, I'm Pastor so-and-so, I'm pleased to meet you, and do you know Jesus, and are you ready to go to heaven? Amen. Then he went to the next one, and the next one, the next one, the next one. Every one of them didn't do a thing. I'm going to tell you something, he let his light shine. By the time he got to the eighth person, tears running down his cheeks. He's weeping like a baby. He says, I'm Pastor so-and-so. And do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? He says, no. He said, would you like to? He said, yes. And he did. We got knelt down right in that chair in that living room. Everybody else just standing there in their tuxedos. He said, we prayed through. He said, man, he wept like a baby. Hugged my neck when he got done. Turned around. I said, where are you from? He says, I'm from Texas. Give me the name of the town. He says, I know a preacher in that town. He says within a year that man was a deacon in that church doing wonderful. He said, but what happened? Well, when they let that light shine. Yeah, some people don't like it. Let it shine anyways. Let it shine. We're a keeper of the flame. We're not a janitor. We're not here just to keep it clean. We're here to let it shine. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I've had this on my heart for over a week. I've been praying about it almost every single day. Spent a lot of time today over it, agonizing over it, because I knew it was what God had wanted, but I'm afraid I didn't do it justice. But I know one thing, the Spirit of God always does it justice. And there's those in here, your flame is flickering. It's not bright as it was. I don't know if the oil's run dry, running out, and all you're going on is fumes. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we can get it filled again. At the same place that it got filled before. The same place that those last year got it filled. The same place that it flowed last year. Same place it flowed where the prophets got it. The same place where the priests got it. The same place where John the Baptist got it. Same place that Azusa Street got it. Right at the altar of God where God set the fire the first time. That's where you're going to get it. And you can have it tonight if you so desire, that this can be a turning point for you in your life, for this camp meeting. You don't have to wait till the last night. You can get it tonight. Amen. And that light can shine. So that others can see it and know that God is doing a work in your life. You talk it over with God right there where you're at. For in a moment, amen. Let's stand right now. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to come. These musicians are going to play and I'm going to ask you to come. Amen. First of all, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need to get that lamp burning. Amen. I want you to get up here. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to first one in line here. Amen. If you're up here and you got your toes against this altar, amen. Preachers, you know that they're looking for the baptism. Amen. And those behind them, your lamp has been a little bit frayed. Amen. Your lamp is a little bit running low. I want you up there. Rest of your light's shining great and fine. That's good. I want you to get behind them and pray for those that are in front of you. But I want you to take them. Amen. And everybody in this house, I want you to raise your hand right now, just before we call you to come. I want you to prepare yourself. Amen. For God to meet you. Amen. When you get to this altar. Amen. I want you to get those hands in the air. Amen. I want you to get that thing, Lord, and say, just God, do it tonight. Do it tonight. With the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, you don't even need somebody to lay your hands on your head. You get it up there. You're ready, prepared. He's ready, more than ready to fill you tonight. Amen. Jesus, tonight in a mighty, holy, matchless name. Lord, have your way in this altar call tonight. You do the work, Lord. You touch, move, and motivate, God. Individuals, God. Lord, that we become keepers of the flame, not just a janitor. We leave this place different than when we came in. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.